right, welcome to episode 36 of the Al Josh Show. This is Al Venz coming at you from Studio 2. Got my good friend Josh Raymond. How you doing, Josh?
I'm great, Al. We're a couple days shy of the first official competition of the season.
No kidding. Couldn't be more excited, right? I mean, for 8, 9, 10 months, we've been talking about wanting to get back on the mat or the football field or, you know, the ice rink or basketball, whatever people want to do. And I can't wait. I've got high school wrestling Thursday, Saturday, and college wrestling Friday. And I couldn't be more excited to be super busy this week.
Yeah, what a great schedule going into the weekend.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this. Let's go over a few bullet items of just some hot topics and questions that everybody has, or a lot of people have, about this upcoming season.
Have you noticed just a ton of people curious on what wrestlers can and can't do and what weigh-ins are going to be like and transportation.
I know the high school coaches have a lot on their plates trying to get practice going with their pods, you know, max of 25 people and deal with all of those issues. And then on top of their normal parent communication, there's a whole bunch of special new things and extra questions, you know. Like, I've been around wrestling a long time, and I can probably help Coach Olson give his preseason speech most years, right? Because I've heard it so many times, and, you know, I'm a pretty low-maintenance parent. And this year, I'm like, you know, I haven't bugged him, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, what about attendance? When are weigh-ins? How many times they have to weigh in before postseason? I get all these questions, right? Because it's a different year. So let's do this. Let's go through just a few hot topics and give the information we have. Obviously, you know, things can change and you should rely on your coach or AD or whoever for the final say-so. But we've got some pretty solid information, almost all of it or maybe all of it off like the MSHSL site directly and all recently updated like within the last few days. So I think we've got some good information.
Let's do it, because yeah. I know there's a lot of questions out there. Where should we start?
Well, I want to start. The biggest question most people have, or a lot of people have, is attendance.
Oh, right? That's
they
huge
go
one.
And we get it.
Parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah. So the guidelines that MSHSL has put forward for wrestling, and they use documentation from the Department of Health and the CDC and all this stuff, but they've come up with their own guidelines, and it's available online, right, on their website. But out of their guidelines for spectator capacity, because wrestling is an indoor sport, it is 25% venue capacity or 150 people, the lesser of those two. So if your home venue is US Bank Stadium, you still can only have 150 people. If you've got a little tiny gym that holds 120, well, if you have a gym that holds, say, 300 people, you only get 75 because 25% of max capacity. So it's the lesser of 25% max capacity or 150 people total.
Seems a bit extreme on the US Bank example, right?
Well, I was, right? The point being that no matter how big and safe you could make it, 150 is the max. Now, saying that, there are certain people that don't count towards the max. As long as the wrestlers can be separated from the spectators by at least 12 feet,
okay,
they don't count. Let's say you're in some sort of a facility that for some reason you can't get 12 feet between the fans and the wrestlers. They count as as part of the 150. I don't think that's going to – I can't imagine a place where that would matter.
I don't – yeah, I can't picture a gym off the top of my head that's going to be a
right
problem.
Now, very similar to that, the required support personnel, such as scorekeepers, announcers, officials, medical personnel – those are similar. They have to maintain 12 feet in their restricted areas, but 12 feet from spectators. And then they also do not count towards that 150.
Okay.
And what their guidelines say is that school districts and charter schools must require advanced reservations and or ticketing, i.e. online, app-based email, or will call. There will be zero walk-ins, impromptu purchases, or admittance or other admittance that will not be allowed. So it all has to be done in advance. So that said, I know Thursday's the first day of competition, and there's a lot of schools going to be competing. And I know that there are schools that don't yet know how they're supposed to get their tickets. And, you know, my advice would be to nicely ask your coach or AD to just let you know, but I'm sure they're going to, right? Like they don't probably, actually, you know what? Leave them alone. They probably know that you're interested and want to know. So as soon as they get word from the host school, which the host school sets a lot of these parameters, that 150 max is hard, but as far as how many attendees from each school and whatnot, the host school holds some power there. So it's essentially up to the host school. And of course they would be doing the online ticketing reservation system, whatever. So if your school is, if your team is away this Thursday, you're just going to have to wait patiently. And as soon as that gets announced, hopefully that school will allow for online ticketing. And you know, it may be Wednesday night or Thursday afternoon or morning that you're scrambling to do it. But
okay. So let me ask you this. If I get it now, like my son's team, their school already, they've got this worked out. We actually purchased our tickets already, but I'm going to use an extreme example here. So I have a family of six.
Yep.
And,
i.e. the Raymond six.
Yeah. The Raymond six, right? My son is wrestling.
Yep.
And myself and Jolene and brother Skyler, sister Carter, and sister Charlie all want to go watch.
Of course you do.
So we just got to be the first ones to sign up for those tickets?
You, Josh, cannot. Although that would be up to your school. You know, the whole school could decide that families that are good Catholic families with six or more kids get all the tickets, right? But I think, so most schools, you and I have talked to, you spent all day yesterday on the phone, right? And I've talked to some people as well. And the most common thing we've heard that people are choosing is a lot of times it's two per athlete for home teams and one per athlete for away. Is that right?
Well, definitely two, each athlete will get two tickets for home matches.
Right.
But then I would say like for away, it kind of seemed to be like 50-50. Like,
okay.
We get one ticket for away matches, but a lot of schools were getting two for those.
Sure.
So.
And I'm hoping that, well, I'm sure schools are going to adjust as they go on, and maybe there's a school that wants to make sure they can have good support and everything. And as the season progresses, if a host school is using, you know, 60 or 70 of their 100 tickets they've reserved for their home teams, they're probably going to be good about sharing some extras later on, you know, with visitors. Better to err on the side of caution and maybe just allow one per. So that said, if there's a try, for instance, right? These are all duels and tries this year, no tournaments and that sort of thing. If there's a try, if your team is not competing, you need to clear the gym. It is the guidance that we heard from Rod preseason, right?
Yeah. So what is that? Does that entail? Can we go sit in like the commons?
I don't know for sure. I again imagine that would be up to the host school, but that could play into that 150 number pretty heavily, because if it's a try and you're fair and square about it, each team only gets 50 spectators. However, if it's only three duels, right, that are separate, there's only two teams in there at a time, each team could have 75 or 150, however they allocate them. But that could change per event too. So as much as it will stink to have to leave the gym in some cases, I would guess, when your team's not competing, just understand that in other times you're going to be wanting to watch your athletes compete, and someone else is going to have to go sit out between duels too, right? So we're all going to have to share that burden.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No, no. The wrestling, and that's kind of like, you know, seating at the state tournament. Everybody wants that great seat and whatnot, but you'll see a lot of times parents scoot down for semifinal matches or blood, whatever matches, they'll scoot down there, and there's almost always a seat available for, you know, a quiet, interested parent. Someone will scoot over and find a seat for them for their kid's match, and then they'll run back upstairs. It's kind of like that, you know, we're going to have to all take our turns leaving the gym. As much as I want to watch every match that's competed this year in Minnesota, it's just not going to happen.
Not this year.
Although, that said, Josh, there's going to be a lot more matches available streaming this year than ever before on the upside.
And I can appreciate that because that'll give us a chance to catch, you know, a lot of matches we wouldn't be able to actually watch, right?
So, you know, maybe in between, if Farmington's hosting a triangular and they're the first and third duel, maybe in between I go sit in my car and I stream the other duel and I watch it, you know, or I watch some other duel from around the state that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, because historically, there's just not a lot of events of high school duels and tries that are streamed. You know, every so often there's a big one and people will do it, or some schools have been good about it. But this year, I got to think almost every school will make, well, every school will make every effort to get their matches streamed, knowing that there's such a limited in-person availability.
And that was one thing that when talking to people yesterday, they, you know, they didn't maybe have a black and white answer, so to speak, but they pretty much everyone said, yeah, they hope to stream it. They just weren't sure what service they were using yet, or, you know, whether it be, you know, some schools are using Track. Some schools will be maybe using Facebook Live.
Yep. I know that Farmington is going to be using Facebook Live.
Okay.
So we can, you know, so, you know, maybe grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles that could only watch a very limited number of matches ever. As much as it stinks that they may not get to come watch in person, they may get to watch every match that their, you know, their relative wrestles that year via a Facebook live stream, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's.
So it's up to the home teams to determine what streaming is allowed. My gut says that most schools are gonna be okay with each team that's participating having their own stream. But I don't know that.
Guess we'll find out.
Right. It's up to each school, of course. So, we'll just have to see. But the good news is, I'm hoping that there'll be a ton of wrestling streaming available this year. I know there will be. So that's one minor positive, I guess. So we talked a little bit about this off air. One thing that has always been super important in wrestling is hygiene, right? We preach and preach and preach. Every day you have new clean clothes, new fresh towels. You shower immediately when you're done. You wipe your headgear down or SAO yourself or whatever, right? And this year it's actually recommended that student-athletes shower at home after practice or competition. In their guidelines. It's not required. It's not required, but it's recommended. If school showers are to be used, student athletes must maintain social distancing of 6 feet. And if the locker room's not large enough to provide adequate distancing of 6 feet for the entire pod, which is 25 or less, then the pod must be divided in smaller groups to allow proper social distancing. So if you've got like a really tiny locker room, you might end up having to shower in shifts. But I hope that all schools will allow their athletes to shower on premises, because we just simply know from years of data that if kids are not showering immediately after, contact, that skin funk numbers are going to go up.
Yeah. Talking to one coach yesterday, he said we spent 10 years, you know, preaching, you know, the habit of good hygiene and showering right after practice. And now this year, it's recommended not showering. He says these are our high school kids. We turn them loose.
Right.
There's a decent number of them that aren't going to probably shower right away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some of them might have a 20 or 30 minute car ride home.
Yeah.
They may stop at the gas station or at McDonald's or what, you know, whatever. So.
So one thing I thought was interesting, like I was talking to Chris Silvis yesterday. Her son Zach wrestles for Park of Cottage Grove, and at their school right now, the wrestlers are the only athletes allowed to use the locker rooms.
I think that's defendable.
Well, I do
not
too.
Not because I'm a wrestling snob. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
but because in, basketball and hockey and whatnot, they don't have skin checks prior to every competition. In fact, we have skin checks in most schools nowadays before practice.
Yeah.
Everybody walks through skin check so that if someone does have a little funk, they get on top of it and contain it. You know, that's how important hygiene is to wrestling. So I can get behind Park saying, you know what, no showers. You guys go home and shower. If you stink up your car, you stink it up. But guess what, wrestlers, we understand. Wrestling's special. this is important. There's, you know, skin checks for a reason, and you guys definitely can use a shower room. I think that's great. Good on Cottage or Park for allowing that.
Yeah, I thought it was really unique. Basketball players, they'll just show up in their practice gear and they'll leave in their practice gear, and wrestling will, you know, the locker rooms are for them.
Right.
You know, and then there's other schools that have multiple locker rooms. Like one school I talked to, they have, they've got three locker rooms that they can use. So their wrestling team is essentially 50 kids, but I think they have three pods.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, and maybe it's just a titch over 50. So they got three pods, and each pod has a locker room, and they're the only ones in the school at the time.
Awesome.
So it works out great. I'm glad that that's just a recommendation, albeit I don't agree with the recommendation, but at least it's not a requirement.
Right.
So it's right. Nice that the teams are finding ways still.
And in a school like that, and I don't know if that's the same kind of school that's going to be frying up walleye fresh off the lake or not.
That is the same type of school that's going to be frying up Bemidji.
Right. But the Lumberjacks can safely shower. Right. It's not a concern. They're with the same 20, 25 kids. They're socially distanced in the locker room. There's nothing extra. And so it's great that they're allowing that step above and beyond to go. Right. Because from the very beginning, wash your hands for 20 seconds, you know, this, that, and the other, all these hygiene recommendations from the CDC and all this, which I understand wrestlers are just, you know, that, but taking it a step or two further.
Yeah. And that's from, like you said, from the very beginning, wash your hands, you know, hand sanitize. And, well, here we got a group of teenage athletes that are usually really good about their hygiene.
Right.
Let them keep doing it.
Exactly. So speaking of hygiene, let's talk a little bit about weigh-ins and skin checks, right? The hygiene being the skin check part. How's that going to work this year, Josh?
Well, so weigh-ins are going to take place at your own school before you get on the bus and make the commute to you know, wherever you're going for your away meet.
So just you and I can weigh in and check each other off, tell coach we're good?
No, I wish. I wish it was that simple, but it actually says in bold lettering, I lost it, but it says the weigh-ins have to be administered by a school administrator who is not a wrestling coach.
Sure, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, that's actually the way we did it where I grew up in small town Iowa. We did weigh-ins at our own schools, and the AD, who was not involved with wrestling, came and checked them. So
the weigh-ins must take place during the window of time defined by as 30 minutes prior to departing for the first team traveling until 60 minutes prior to the first match.
Sure.
So that's the weigh-in portion. But the skin check portion will not, that'll take place once you get to the school and the officials are on site and they'll take a look at you there.
Sure.
So.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want anybody to read too much into that. Why do we trust officials, or why do we trust administrators to do weigh-ins but not skin checks? Well, that's easy. Because weigh-ins, you look at a scale and write down a number. Skin checks require a little extra knowledge. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, and most of the guys we know that ref, they have a really good grasp on what's
a lot of coaches and refs and now have Doc Anderson's, BJ Anderson's Skin Funk app on their phone, right, where they can identify and you say that's rosacea, but this looks a whole lot like whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense. So that's good info. So weigh-ins are at home, no matter where you wrestle, and skin checks are on site. How about, I've heard other people talking about and laughing about and making comments about things like wearing masks during competitions and handshaking and all that. What's the scoop with that, Josh? I saw every sport in Minnesota, winter sport, has to wear masks except wrestling during competition. So wrestlers wear masks during warm-ups and during conditioning at practice and before and after their match. But during their matches, they don't have to wear masks. It could be a choking hazard. So I like that. How about things like handshakes and fist bumps?
Well,
and hand raising.
So pre-contest, handshakes, fist bumps, or hugs are not allowed.
No hugging.
No hugging. No, but the key word there is pre-contest.
So like you're talking about when you enter the gym and see some people you know, or maybe during like pre-match lineup announcements, there won't be the traditional shake hands at the center of the mat each weight class.
Yeah, like okay. Where you kind of start off on the you know, kind of huddle in one corner and they right. announce 106 Alvens versus, you know.
That is not a recent announcement.
That is not. But where you'd run to the center and shake hands. So that would be, you know, a no-no.
Yeah.
And then fist bumps, you know, I got to think that's kind of something relating to, like, if you and I are buddies and on opposite teams and, you know, hey, good to see you. Good luck today.
Well, so I've watched as much wrestling as I can consume over the last week, which has been all college to this point, right? But
yeah.
There's a whole lot of fist bumping going on versus handshaking. You know, for whatever reason, they're just bumping fists. And so I think that's part of the thing is people see that and associate, well, maybe we're fist bumping instead of handshaking. So they're just clarifying that fist bump and handshake are the same from that perspective.
And then hugs are, you know,
always discouraged.
Yeah. I mean, between men. Not as common, but okay. But so again, that's pre-contest, right?
Right.
So if we scroll down to the next page, page 8, because we were kind of under the impression in like,
we almost got in an argument about this because we were each looking at the exact same document, but two different pages.
Yeah. Now I got to find it here because.
Well, you're looking for that. I will clarify that post-competition is the same as pre-competition. So, for instance, after a duel, you're not going to go do team handshakes or team fist bumps or anything like that. Probably similar to football, there may be some sort of acknowledgement to the other team, maybe a raise of the hand or a wave or a whatever, but there won't be, like you're used to seeing at the end of the duel, each team walks through and shakes everybody's hand. That will not happen either. So pre and post contest, there will be no fist bumping, handshaking, hugging, that sort of thing.
Right. Now here we go. This is for competition, and this is a recommendation. It says the student athletes may shake hands prior to each match start and at the conclusion. Handshakes are not required. Fist bumps and other acknowledgments are acceptable.
Which I actually like that they did that. You know, some states are mandating like no handshaking after a match. And whether you're a diehard wrestling person or you've never even gotten into it, barely watched it, the fact that you may roll around and wrestle with someone for 6 minutes and crossface and whatever and then not be allowed to shake hands just seems odd. I'm glad that they're actually saying, you know what, it's fine. Go ahead and shake hands or fist bump.
How about the awkwardness of it when you see a college kid who's wrestled all his life,
right?
And after the match, like the match is over and they can't shake hands because they've always shook hands after the match. And
right.
They're just kind of like, okay, we'll see you later. You know,
it's kind of like, you know, there's going to be some of those things we've seen over the years. A number of kids come out with a left-handed handshake.
So awkward.
I've declared for, you know, certainly there's kids who have physical ailments with their right arm, right? They're whatever. But for anything outside of that situation, I've always thought a left-handed handshake is bordering on unsportsmanlike.
Oh, my.
Referee Rod Frost disagrees with me. And I can often get him convinced that it's probably unsportsmanlike, but he'll never call it. And if I can't get Rod to call it, it'll never be called.
Do you remember when we used to wrestle Owatonna back in the day?
Tanner
Cole would whip out the left-handed handshake.
That's the first one that comes up. And you know what? He threw a lot of guys off with that.
Well, they'd go back and forth, right? He'd put out the left hand. The guy he's wrestling would put out the right hand. Tanner would put the left, keep it out there.
Right.
And like they would just kind of go back and forth.
I told the kids always, take your right hand and grab the outside of his left hand and shake it and just chuckle. You know, because he threw guys off. It was a mind game for him, I think. I never, you know, I knew Tanner a bit, but I never did ask him about that. Anyhow, speaking of contact and speaking of referees like Rod Frost, there will be zero contact between referees and athletes at any time. So if Josh is out there running a half Nelson on someone and going too far, Rod's not going to try to, he can't physically stop it. He just has to blow the whistle and have him stop it. Rod actually mentioned that he thinks there might be some cases where referees stop it a hair earlier, you know, because they can't physically prevent that last little oomph. But either way, there will be no touching by officials. And after the match, the referee will signal the winner by raising the armband. He'll have red and green on his wrist. Like always, he'll raise the arm of signifying which wrestler won. And the wrestler, this I think has maybe changed. Rod said the wrestler must raise his hand to indicate he was the victor.
That's what we thought earlier, right?
Right.
That's what it said, the guidelines said earlier.
And in fact, we challenged Rod Frost to make not raising your hand a penalty for unsportsmanlike. And what did Rod do? Not just nothing, he went the other way apparently, because someone decided that the kids, it's optional now if they raise their hand. I'm asking all you athletes as a fan to please raise your hand. And I get sometimes you're going to be frustrated, but just give it a quick raise as you run off, you know, let us know.
Yep.
All right, so that's that. Weights. So, Josh, in the past, Minnesota's always gotten 2-pound growth allowance on January 1st, right?
Yeah.
And what's the status of that this year?
You know, there was a ton of discussion about this, and no one really knew what was going to happen, and we're kind of waiting to hear and waiting to see. We talked about it off air, and we just thought, well, why would it change?
Right.
You know, like to us, just maybe the common sense approach was you would still get the 2-pound growth allowance after January 1.
Yep.
And that's what they did.
Yep.
The date identified for the 2-pound growth allowance is set at January 1, and it will not change for this school year.
Perfect.
So it means basically you're going to get 2 pounds the entire season.
All right. What about the 50% rule? It used to be 50% of your weigh-ins on or after January 15th had to be at your lowest weight you qualify for the postseason, meaning that starting January 15th, half your weigh-ins have to be at the weight you want to be eligible for in the postseason entering team sections. Is that still true?
No.
Okay.
Parts of it are true. You still have to get your half your weigh-ins after a set date. But that date this year, now this is significant, people. It's February 8th.
That's very significant. And in fact, for people who listen to us regularly, at one point it was thought that there might not be a minimum weigh-ins. So that has definitely changed. And it is a fact. You still have to have 50% of your weigh-ins at your lowest weight to be eligible. It's just that date starts February 8th.
February 8th. And then, you know, with postseason, what the dates of postseason stuff is that's the first week in March, right? Like March 6th, 7th is...
March 6th is the last day for regular season competition, and the postseason officially begins March 8th, right? That does not mean there will be competition that day, but that's when the postseason is declared to start.
So,
Josh, before we go on, this 2-pound weight allowance.
Yeah.
Okay. We talked at length between ourselves as well as to other people. And you quoted a MSHSL doc from December 31st, right? That's just 11, 12 days old that essentially had the rule you just mentioned. And I'm here to tell you that 3 days ago, they put out a new document. The only change I can find in that document at all is a big fat note. The student athlete must establish a certified minimum weight first and then can apply the 2-pound growth allowance during weigh-ins. All right, so we know that just like every other year, you've got to have your weight certification. Typically, people do skin fold. There's another test available, but it's complicated and expensive, and most people don't do it. So they do the old skin fold in three areas, run it through the Excel spreadsheet, pumps out a minimum weight. The athlete, the director, and a parent signs it or whatever, and that's their minimum weight. You have to be 106.0 or less certification on that form to be eligible for 106. Even though you never have to make 106, you only have to make 108, your skin fold has to come back at 106, not 107.5. And that's a fact.
There's schools out there that I know in the past have approached that differently. They have considered 108, that 2-pound allowance, to count as their certified weight.
So I'm going to say this, that is incorrect this year. And previously, I would tell you that's cheating. That's not just incorrect. That's absolutely. This year, I could see confusion because they never have to make 106, and they don't. You know, they didn't even certify until it was 108.
Yeah.
They literally certified after they got 2 pounds. So I could see an argument for saying 108 is all they ever have to make.
You know, have to make 106.
But the way it's always been for years and years is you have to certify for the scratch weight. And even if you don't wrestle it before January 15th, that's just the way it is. I don't know. I think that's some twisting of the rules there, Josh.
That is, I believe it is some twisting of the rules. I never thought, you know, that never really crossed my mind until a buddy was saying, no, we just got to certify for, you know.
I never would have, when you told me that, I was shocked too. It never would have crossed my mind. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, there's.
You know, we're both from the demolition derby world, right? Where people bend the rules all the
time.
Just
gray areas.
Especially guys with red, white, and blue paint jobs.
Just gray areas,
but people, right? Gray areas, right? And if it's not written and that sort of thing. But this isn't demo derby. This is pretty simple. I don't get it. I'm going to have to ask you more off air about that. We may have to follow up with some, I don't know if we have to interview some anonymous people with some sort of voice manipulation or what, but...
I think it's wild that how many days later did they add this to that document?
Well, it was from the 8th, from three days ago.
3 days ago? And
so it was out for a total of 8 or 9 days before they updated it. And that's the only change I can find in that document. So I believe they specifically added that, you know, in response to some people asking about that very question.
Well, and it's funny. Did we explain how we found it? You were reading the updated document and I was reading the...
Right. So, well, you had communication with people and they'd sent you a copy or a screenshot of the document that clearly showed. And it was from only December 31st.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks ago.
Like, why would this change?
And I'm like, I can't find that doc. Well, here's one from 3 days ago and it's the same doc except for that note. So it'll be interesting. And you know, it's funny, right? So this whole COVID situation is going to have effects moving forward. Because maybe there's a school that truly was confused and didn't understand the rules and they just really thought that 108 was fine instead of 106 and that was okay. But now, if that's not okay now, there's certainly no way they could assume it was okay last year or the year before. So moving forward, they're going to have to play by the rules everybody else is, right? In good conscience, they really can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing if you really thought that for a while. But anyhow. Hey, I'm going to rattle off. Go ahead.
Well, before we go on, let's talk about that 50% weigh-in process. The last 2 weeks of the season, they can have 3 events, right? A week.
Correct. Yeah. I was going to just rattle off a few things here. But one of the things is you can have 2 competitions a week throughout the regular season. However... The last 3 weeks, is it 2 or 3?
2.
Last 2 weeks, they allow an extra competition per week with the idea being that if there's makeup events to be done. Because look, let's all be honest. We saw the NFL has more money than God, right? And they had games that were delayed or played shorthanded and whatnot. COVID's going to happen. People are going to have to miss an event here and there. And they're allowing those last 2 weeks of the season an extra event, so 3 instead of 2. So there's a little extra time for makeup events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just another variable in trying to manage those 50% weigh-ins.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you talk to someone from a school that may choose to keep those last couple weeks open before of the regular season, right? So that they are guaranteed to be able to self-quarantine and have a clean bill of health going into the postseason.
Yeah, there is actually a number of schools that have talked about that and mentioned, you know, they're still trying to figure that out.
Right.
But they're just going to self-quarantine and just train them, you know, last 2 weeks.
Sure.
So that if, just to minimize the risk of exposure, so if, you know, they got some kids that have a, you know, they got a number of kids that got a chance at doing really well at the state tournament or team.
Right.
You know, they just, you know, don't want to risk it.
Sure.
And then there's even some teams that maybe don't, you know, that I would say like don't have a lot of ranked wrestlers and really are a long shot to make the state tournament, and they're still talking the same thing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well.
So what were you going to rattle off a bunch of stuff before I interrupted you there?
Well, I was just going to kind of mention a few dates, things that I guess, you know, by now we've really kind of went through all of them, or most of them. It doesn't really matter that the first date of practice was Monday, January 4th, first competition Thursday. Let me just see. So there's 12 total weeks, including postseason, 16 maximum number of 16 regular season events, two per week, outside those last 2 weeks. There's a maximum number of matches for each student athlete of 32. There's duels and tries only, no invitationals, no tournaments, no scrimmages, no jamborees. The opponents can be conference, section, regional, or local teams as defined by the school. So it's actually up to the school to define those. Competitions with opponents from bordering states are allowed when it's less than 50 miles one way and they're determined as local. And that may be the case, right, for some of the outstate teams on the East and West Coast, especially, that normally maybe wrestle Wisconsin or North Dakota teams.
Yeah.
They can still do that if it's close enough and determined to be local.
Okay.
But only duels and tries. They can't go to the Rumble on the Red or whatever.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess that's really all. Everything else we've kind of got. We're ready to start wrestling in a few days. I love it.
Yeah, that is, everyone, there's a guy can talk a lot of wrestling right now with wrestling parents and fans because everyone is ready for the season to start.
Oh,
and think, we got really lucky last year. We got our state tournament in.
By far, yeah. I mean, girls state basketball for Farmington, you know, my son was at their semifinal game when they upset a team and won to make the finals, and it was just an awesome atmosphere. He was actually, him and some guys got kicked out of their seat. They were up in the corner, had Farmtown painted across their chest. They were on the news, they had them on the news, and then they didn't show the ushers asking them to leave that area. But, you know, it was a ball. Farmington girls basketball, they'd lost one of their best players to a knee injury, and they still survived and were persevering through this, had a great season. And then they literally were semifinals of the state tournament and no finals, you know, got yanked away from a chance to make their own history, and wrestling got to have their state tournament.
Yeah, we were lucky.
By just a few days, right? Because it was 4 or 5 days later that Victor Gleva was warming up for his national title run down in Cedar Rapids, and college athletics stopped. So we did get lucky, right? So as bad as it's been, we did get lucky to get that postseason in last year.
Well, should we talk a little, some rankings? I mean, are we good as far as our COVID stuff?
That's everything. Well, yeah, that's more than we really care to talk about. But we wanted to make sure that we had the latest information that was available out there to people. I know we didn't answer all the questions, but hopefully we answered some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you just, let's do this. Let's maybe just go through team tonight, just touch on the team rankings and stuff. And
okay.
Then in our next episode, we'll actually talk more wrestling content, I'll bet. But let's get some wrestling talk in here. We can't just talk protocol.
So let's go. Do we want to start A, double A, or triple A? You make the call.
Start with A.
Start with A. Okay, we'll start with A. We'll start with the favorites in section 1A. It is going to be Grand Meadow, Leroy, Ostrander, Southland. They're the Bulldogs. They're currently ranked fourth on the guillotine. Oddly enough, they did not graduate a single wrestler from last year's state tournament team.
Wow.
They are coming back fully loaded. They got 8 ranked wrestlers with Anthony Romero leading the charge. He's currently ranked number one at 106 pounds, and I think he's a senior.
Ooh.
You know, I could be wrong. He may be a junior, but hang on a second. Oh, I got a copy of the guillotine right here.
That's right.
Let me see.
And speaking of that, Josh, the last time we talked on air, I did have my paper copy finally.
I think so.
Yeah. Two episodes ago was when I was embarrassed to announce that I'd let it lapse.
Yeah.
But that's been corrected.
Right. So yeah, Romero is a senior per the Guillotine. He's ranked number one. They got Lucas Winfield. He's number five at 138 pounds. Donovan Felton, number six at 145. Reese Voigt, number two at 152. Daniel Smith, number three at 160. Christian Jacobson, six at 170. Noah Sales, number two at 182. And Cameron Sneed, number seven at 195. They got eight ranked wrestlers.
Wow, that's impressive.
And they're ranked fourth.
Well, I'm going to jump around on you.
Please do.
Let's jump right to the top. Coming back, the name, who's defending state champs in single A?
Long Prairie Gray Eagle Browerville.
And they're ranked number one again, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And did they also lose nobody?
They graduated seven seniors. They graduated seven seniors from their starting lineup, five of which had 30-plus wins.
Wow!
So, and they currently have four ranked wrestlers. Braden Tom, he's number seven at 126 pounds. Carter Miners, who's number six at 138. And then they got the Godey brothers. Landon, who's number two at 145. And Mason, who is number one at 160 pounds.
60, right.
So that's an interesting, preseason ranking. It's
the first crack at it, right? Preseason, a lot of times you go by returning, who's back. But that'll be an interesting interesting class to see how that shakes out. You know, assuming everybody stays healthy, makes a state tournament, I think LPGE has a little tougher route to get there, don't they?
They have to, right? So currently ranked second in Class A is from Section 4 is Atwater Cosmos Grove City. They're the Falcons. They were the runner-up last year. And they have nine ranked wrestlers.
Nice.
Now, granted, you know, they're ranking, so you still got to wrestle them. But they got nine ranked wrestlers. Edwin Gonzalez at 106. Javen Williams, he's number one at 113. Cole Hoylien. I think it's Hoylien is how I've heard this say. Number six at 126. Brady Hoylien, number three at 138. Hayden Strowman, number eight at 145. Jake Mortensen, number eight at 152. Jackson Beam, number five at 182. Taylor Fester, number eight at 195, and Logan Sherwood, number five at 285. Again, nine ranked wrestlers. I gotta believe they look to improve upon their runner-up finish last year.
Yeah. So coming in third is another Section 5 team, right? Along with LPGE?
Oh, yeah, that section is just crazy, right?
Is that Belgrade, Rutinel Rosa?
Yeah. They also got Minnewaska in that section too, right? Aren't they? They're ranked.
Yeah, Minnewaska's ranked five.
Yeah,
so they've got three top five teams in that section. LPG graduated a bunch of people. I'm just guessing that Belgrade and Minnewaska are having something to say about changing that up before postseason comes.
Yeah,
they both return a pretty good chunk of wrestlers, and that's going to be a good one.
That's a nasty, tough section. Another team that's worth looking at is Badger, Greenbush, Middle River. They're the Gators. You know, are they maybe in the lean and mean right now?
They are.
They got three ranked wrestlers. Grant Underberg, number seven at 138. Caleb Vasura, number nine at 170. And Dominic, the two-time defending state champion, Vasura, number one at 220 pounds.
Right.
Last I saw him, he was big. So I would be surprised if he's still at 220.
I don't, so typically I looked through some rankings with some kids that I knew kind of what they weighed this summer. And it feels like a lot of times the rankers ask the coaches for help on that, right? Especially preseason. Do they really think that Dominic's getting down to 220? It was quite a while ago when we saw him not at 220. And he was not, he's a big, big dude. Like, sometimes you look at a guy and say, he could shave 15 pounds pretty easy. Dominic's a big guy and he needs to shave more than 15. Like, he's big put together.
He is. I don't think they lost a whole lot of seniors either. You know, they got, they're returning a bunch of upperclassmen. And I remember my notes from last year's state tournament. I don't think I got to talk about it, but I wanted to keep an eye on these guys because they had their mascot with them last year at the state tournament. And the mascot was literally a full-blown, like 8-foot-tall gator.
Really?
Sitting in the front row during their duels. And I felt bad for the person with the seat behind the gator.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you could see.
It's 8 foot, sitting, three. Yeah, that's got to be difficult, right?
But it was so, I was laughing so hard at the gator in the stands. So it'll be fun to keep an eye on them. Kind of got a new favorite in Section 3A. Right now, it, you know, per the Guillotine rankings, it's looking like Jackson County Central is back on top in that section.
I was going to say, yeah, new for the last few years, but historical powerhouse, Jackson County.
Yeah, because the last couple of years, Tracy, Milroy, Ballantyne,
yep,
Westbrook, Walnut Grove had won that section, but JCC is back. They got four ranked wrestlers with Nolan Ambrose, number two at 106, Logan Butson, number two at 132, Thomas Frecking, number eight at 138, and Peyton Hondovit, number one at 152, defending state champ, right?
Yeah. Also current record holder of one of my top two favorite Twitter pictures ever.
Oh, yeah.
Right? With another Section 3 team. That was actually a section photo that against Canby, right?
Yep.
Canby's in that section still?
Yep. That's and I think Canby's in the lean and mean, aren't they? They're making their way back. Let me check my trusty Guillotine here. They're making their way back into they're ranked. They are ranked 7th. So they're back in the rankings here, and that section is always, always tough. Let's see. Is there anyone I'm missing from Class A, Al? Blue Earth's the favorite out of Section 2. You know, they got three ranked wrestlers. Section 6, Bertha Hewitt, Verndale, Parker's Prairie. They're currently ranked 6th on the Guillotine.
How about Section 7 and 8, Josh? I don't see anybody currently listed in the top 12, 7 and 8. So that could make for some really entertaining section tournaments, right? We've been part of teams that are first time making it to state, and you want to talk about excitement. 7 and 8, if there's no clear favorite, sometimes that opens a door for kind of a first time state entrant. Who do we got in 7 and 8?
Well, so Section 8 is, that's where Greenbush.
Well, that's Badger,
yeah,
right?
So, and you know, typically for a long time, that section's been dominated by Frazee. But last year, Badger beat up on them in the section semifinals, beat them by 11 or 12 points. And then they went on to beat United North Central in the section finals by 2 points.
Right.
And I think United North Central is going to be pretty tough again. They're returning a bunch of ranked wrestlers.
Sure.
But now section 7 is last year's representative at the state tournament was Royalton Upsala. And they're the Royals. And I don't think they have a ton of ranked wrestlers this year, but my understanding is they might have a little stranglehold on that section for now.
All right.
But I don't have a lot of concrete evidence to back that up, so I'm sorry about that. Well, Royalton's got four ranked wrestlers. They got a Gorecki. Oh, they got a couple Goreckis. I think that's...
There's always a couple, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, right? That's... So they got Will Gorecki, he's number 9 at 132. Jacob Leibold is number 5 at 145. Gabe Gorecki is number 8 at 160. And Mason Nowitzki is number 3 at 285. I think their coach is a Gorecki, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah, and wasn't there like a Hunter that came through?
Hunter actually just committed to Augsburg, right? I think he's at
right.
Foley. But
yeah,
this has got to be
right.
a cousin,
yeah.
I want to say. So I think their head coach is Terry Gorecki. But that kind of sums up my Class A knowledge.
Touch on Class A a little bit. It's preseason.
Yeah.
We got a lot more wrestling to come. Let's touch on Double A. There's a class you maybe know a little bit of something about.
Yeah, Double A, one of my favorites. Let's start with Section 6.
Okay.
6 Double A, Dassel, Cokato, Litchfield. You know,
wait a minute. Dassel, Cokato, Litchfield. Which team are you talking about?
That's a co-op.
It is a co-op.
That is a co-op. Now,
what mascot are they going to be? It's a question for you.
Yeah. For those of our listeners, when Al pulled a fast one on me about the White Bear Lake Mariner High School Dolphins, like a trick question, man. You know that DCL,
yeah.
They are the school with no, or they are the team with no mascot.
All right.
They have no mascot.
Are they going to have an open seat next to the Gator if they're sitting next to Class A at state?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'll tell you what, they've got to have a bunch of kids coming, right?
Well, they got 6 ranked wrestlers right now. They're currently ranked 5th on the guillotine. Those wrestlers are the likes of Andrew Jodeman. He's number 3 at 106 pounds. Jerry Symes is number 3 at 138 pounds. His brother Eddie Symes is number 6 at 152. Jude Link is number 2 at 160 pounds. He's a state finalist last year. Will O'Brien is number 9 at 182. And Bo Nelson is number 9 at 195 pounds.
Right.
They're definitely the section favorite, and they should be strong again this year. But they do not have a mascot. Let's look at, how about the favorite in Section 3AA, Fairmont Martin County West, the Red Bulls.
The Red Bulls, absolutely.
And they've been tough for a while now. They're currently ranked 4th on the G. They've got 5 ranked wrestlers. Jackson Roman, he leads their guys. He's a senior. He's ranked number 1 at 126 pounds. He's placed in the state tournament.
He's got as many state titles as some schools do, literally.
Well, and he's placed, I think, every year. He's been in, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. And
we had to redo our template for who's number one, Minnesota's number one matches to include all of his stuff.
Yeah,
right?
He's got so many. I mean,
he's got a state title, like a 2- or 3-time finalist.
Yeah.
With thirds mixed in and 5. Yeah, just
very,
every year.
Very decorated. I would say Augustana. I'm pretty sure he's an Augustana commit, and I think they probably got a very tough kid there.
Yeah.
You
know, speaking of Augustana, I'm not sure what's going to happen. They announced they were going to go D1, and I'm not so sure they are anymore. That may have changed. That'll be a topic for later. I'll do a little research on that.
Perfect. Because I have no idea. Okay, so the next guy for Fairmont, next ranked wrestler is Kane Sanders. He's ranked number 8 at 132 pounds. I believe he's a junior this year. Then we got Lucas Jagodzinski. He's number 1 at 138 pounds. We got Connor Simmons. He's number 2 at 145. And then Blake Jagodzinski. He's number 5 at 152. But it's worth keeping an eye on a kid named Jesse Potts. He missed most of last season due to injury, I think. Injury or illness. He made it back for the postseason, but, it was a pretty short window for him. So, he's not ranked right now, but I imagine he'll make his way into the rankings
sure.
As the season progresses.
And 3 guys ranked to make the finals, right? I mean, preseason, they've got 2 number ones and a number 3.
Yeah, 2 number ones and a number 2.
Or
yes.
Number 2, right, right.
And another set of ranked brothers.
Yeah.
You see that a lot.
You do.
Tell me how happy the smile that puts on a wrestling coach's face when you got a family of wrestlers like that. Okay, so let's go. Let's take a look at Section 7AA. The Foley Falcons, they're the favorite. They're currently ranked 6th. They've got 7 ranked wrestlers. Kyler Ruhoff, he's number 6 at 106. Levi Jacobson, he's number 9 at 120. Logan Thorsten is number 7 at 152. Andy Knutson, number 10 at 182. Hunter Garecki, number 4 at 195. Greg Miller, number 8 at 220. And Elijah Novak, number 6 at 285. Here's a little fun fact for you, Al. Foley has qualified for the state tournament 27 times as a team.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that is.
That's a lot.
That is.
When we get to 3A, I may ask you who's got the longest consecutive streak.
All right, give me some time to ponder. And Detroit Lakes is going to be representing, or
hey,
is the
hold favorite. Hold on here. Before you go on past Foley walking their way through Section 7.
Yep. I'm not saying they're walking their way. Walking their way through it.
I got to think you have to at least mention Princeton, right?
Yeah.
We've watched them for years, and we knew they were going to be coming through, right? And they've got Wells is ranked 1st at 113. Landon Parents ranked 4th at 132. Kyle Bakke, right?
Yeah.
At 138. And Zach Wells at 152, speaking of brothers.
Yep.
That's some pretty highly ranked kids.
Now, my son's team was supposed to wrestle Foley in Princeton in a try at Princeton.
How much fun would that be?
I was feeling like a spoiled wrestling dad at the time when I saw that schedule. I think Foley dropped out of that try. My understanding was, I'm hearing some grumblings that it's a conference thing. They had to reschedule one of their...
Sure.
A lot of these teams are on their second and third schedule.
Right, right.
And they have to reschedule. The conference stuff takes priority. But yeah, that section could be a nasty section finals. And I think Foley's made it to the state tournament like 13 years in a row.
Yeah.
And this is Princeton's best team probably ever, or at least as long as I'll recall.
Sure.
So that'll be fun to keep an eye on.
Well, and the older Wells, Zach and Bakke and Parent are all seniors, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the year they're gunning for, at least on paper, with those three super strong seniors and Tyler. This would be the year.
Yeah, that should be really one of the closest sections to keep an eye on, because that could just be an absolute shootout. You know, Princeton's got a lot of strength down low, some super tough kids, but then Foley kind of has the edge on the back half of the weights, the big guys. You know, they got a bunch of guys ranked at 82, 95, 220 in heavyweight.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Pretty nice row of closers,
right?
There.
Yeah, be a fun one.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that. Good call, Al. Thanks for stopping me there. Section 8. The favorite in the section right now is the Detroit Lakes Lakers. They're currently ranked third.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. They got three ranked wrestlers. Cade Jackson, he's number 7 at 145. Brody Elliott, number 2 at 152. And Andreas Barnett, number 5 at 285. But keep an eye on guys like Tyson, I hope I'm pronouncing their last name, Elliott. He's around 120-ish pounds.
Okay.
Cade Oxen is around 132-ish pounds. And Blaine Henderson, 195-ish. Those guys all had, you know, I want to say 25-plus wins for their team last year.
Sure.
So...
And that's a section that Perm and Thief River come out of as well, right?
Yeah, that's a super deep section.
Yeah.
The Perm is maybe down a little bit. Thief River, I think, has got a strong team. But it looks like, you know, if DL is ranked third to start the season, that's going to be they should have a pretty solid squad.
Right.
The section in 5AA's to Tino Grace, you know, I think they're in the lean and mean. They got two ranked wrestlers. See if you can guess their names, Al. Or their last name, anyways.
Well, I mean, I only know one. Adam Sylvester,
yes.
Of course.
Yes, yep. And his younger brother, Ethan.
Oh, really?
Yep, those are the two ranked guys for...
How old is Ethan?
I believe Ethan is a freshman.
All right. He must be kind of little. I know Adam was little at one point, but
he qualified last year at 106 pounds for the state tournament.
Got it.
Let's see if it says in here. He's a freshman. AA. He's a freshman, ranked at 113. Yep.
Sure.
Okay, and then section 4AA is the favorites are South St. Paul Packers. They're in the lean and mean. They got a handful of ranked wrestlers. Looks like probably 3-4 here. Cameron Wigand, he's number 7 at 132 pounds. Nate Berchtold, he's number 8 at 138. Quinn Christofferson, he's number 6 at 195 pounds. I think he made the all-tournament team last year.
Yeah.
And Jared Stroud, who's number 7 at 220 pounds.
Nice.
Another section to keep an eye on here, I'm not going to let you call me out on this one, is 2AA. Scott West is... really kind of had their thumb on that section for the last...
I've listened to that section finals online several times coming home from my own section finals for team. Listen to them.
Yeah.
They typically have... Well, depends on the order down there for section one, right? With 1, 2, and 3A and how things go. But a lot of times you get to listen to section 2 on the drive home from Rochester, and it's a fun one.
So usually when we used to listen to it, you had Scott West, you had Waconia, you had New Prague, you had TCU, St. Peter,
right.
Hutch. I don't want to say it's not watered down, but it's just different,
it's
right?
Not quite the same.
New Prague and Waconia are AAA.
Yep.
Hutch is still there. TCU is still there. TCU's the favorite this year. Scott West is going to be down a little bit, but by the end of the season, they'll probably have that figured out and be right in the battle with it. TCU's the favorite right now, the Titans. They're currently ranked 11th on the guillotine, and they got three ranked wrestlers. Caleb Whips, number 8 at 145. Brody Rude, number 3 at 182. And Riley O'Malley's number 7 at 195 pounds. So then that saves the old current the top ranked team in AA, the Simley Spartans, my favorite wrestling team. They are from Section 1 AA. They're number one in the state and number two in the country if you follow Willie Saylor and his rankings, right, Al?
That is correct.
They have, bear with me, I might take a breath here. They have 12 ranked wrestlers currently. Brandon Mavari, he's number eight at 106 pounds. Peyton Spahala, he's number three at 113. Reed Nelson is number three at 120 pounds. Cash Raymond is number two at 126. Chase DeBlair is number one at 132. Travis Smith, he's a their family just relocated from St. Michael, Albertville. He's number 10 at 145. Ryan Sokol is number one at 152. Cale Berg is number one at 160. Landon Duval is number six at 170. Ken Short is number one at 195 pounds. Gavin Nelson is number one at 220 pounds. And Bennett Tabor is number one at 285 pounds.
You know, you mentioned national rankings, Josh. I actually noticed the national rankings at 195 contain two kids from Simley.
Isn't that crazy? Have you ever seen that before?
It's nuts. Not since a little town in Georgia had two guys. One of the Russells and another kid.
What was his name? It was Sean Russell Amber. And what was the other?
Anyway, it's been since then that I've ever seen it, but now I have again.
I mean, talk about there's really no place to hide when you wrestle those guys. Well, especially on the big boys.
You said there was only 12 ranked wrestlers. Yeah, there's 14 weight classes. So I'm going to figure out those other two somehow.
The X factor for these guys, I think, is a pretty neat statistic, is they have seven returning state finalists.
It's crazy. It's
half the weight.
It was nuts last year to have seven guys in state finals. Like, that's a super impressive statistic. And then when you realize that seven state finalists are not seniors yet.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
They got four returning state champs, so they are the odds-on favorite. And the number two team in the state is Cassin Manorville, who has got a ton of firepower and will be a lot of fun to watch this year with guys like Logan Vaughn and Bennett Berge and Cale Winia. But I think the road to the state tournament through Section 1 definitely goes through Simley.
Yeah.
Let's roll into AAA, Al.
All right, let's do it.
You pick a section. You tell me where we want to start. Let's start with just Section 3 AAA. Let's get that out of the way. The favorite is the Hastings Raiders. They're not ranked, but they're in the lean and mean. They currently have three ranked wrestlers. Josh Rout, he's number 10 at 126 pounds. Aiden Erickson is number 10 at 132. And Nolan Myers is number 8 at 152 pounds. But a wrestler worth keeping an eye on who's not ranked yet is Blake Beisel at 106 pounds. I think this year he's finally going to be big enough to be a real full-size 106-pounder.
Sure.
Okay, then let's roll. Let's go. Let's pick another one here. You tell me, should we go section? Let's go section one, AAA, Al.
All right.
The Owatonna Huskies, they're currently ranked sixth on the guillotine. They are the section favorite as of now. They have six ranked wrestlers. Cale Robb, number three at 113. Yevis Evelar, number nine at 126. Jacob Bernardi, number seven at 145. Landon Johnson, number two at 160. Kata Nelson, number nine at 170. And Matt Sikora, number nine at 182. But we're not going to count that section as done just yet because Northfield and Farmington are definitely going to have something to say about that. They have a super strong top three in that section this year.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what those teams look like at the end of the year.
It's for sure. It'll be a fun one. And you know, there's going to be some weight classes that are not easy to get out of in one AAA. I just kind of scrolling through, I see weight classes, lots with three and some with four kids ranked in a weight class. And, sometimes you go to the next weight class up and there's three more there. So it's not like there's, bump a weight class or cut a weight class and find an easy one. It'll be a competitive section. And certainly Owatonna is a favorite heading into the season on paper.
Yeah.
I don't think that section is quite yet done.
No, that one will be, in my opinion, my very humble opinion, will be one of the closer AAA sections that, could go three ways.
Yeah, and last year, it came down to some oddities with scheduling, right? We talked about this on air and the seating at the section tournament, which I won't even get into because I just won't, right? I've had some discussions off air with people and had to just leave it as agree to disagree. But anyway, the section seating was really important because there were three teams that were at the end of the year kind of ended up kind of a step above the rest. They were three teams that could make it to state, the same three as you just listed. And depending on who wrestled who in the matchups, things could have changed pretty easily and significantly. Not only that, but the number one seed, which was not a clear one, only had to beat one of the other two, not both, right? So that was a really, really tight-knit race last year, and I anticipate it being very similar this year.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll look very, very similar. Let's go to the opposite end. Let's go up north. Let's go to Section 8.
Sure.
AAA. The favorites right now are the Bemidji Lumberjacks. Are currently ranked 8th on the guillotine. They got 6 ranked wrestlers. Brody Castanaguay, he's number 8 at 106 pounds. Darren Roth, he's number 4 at 152. Thade Osborne, he's number 6 at 160. Seth Newby, he's number 5 at 170 pounds. Colton Hinrichs, he's number 9 at 195 pounds. And Caleb Barr, who is actually the son of head coach Rance Barr, he's number 6 at 285.
Nice.
So at Bemidji, you know, those guys, the one thing they've done really well over the last few years, or as long as we've been doing this podcast and a couple years before that I know of, they've really tracked down the best competition they can find.
Right.
You know, they'll take on any and all comers they can during the season to prepare for the postseason. And talking to Coach Barr yesterday when I was just calling around the state to see what was going on with some of these guys, they're still looking to fill a couple events like most coaches are, most teams are.
Right.
And their travel restrictions are not really a thing. So if you want to, you know, if you want to invite Bemidji, if you're looking for a team to add to a try that you maybe don't see during the year, give Bemidji a call. They're looking for some action. Let's go on to Section 7, AAA. The favorite is the Forest Lake Rangers. They're currently ranked 5th in the guillotine. They got 6 ranked wrestlers. Parker Leiden, he's number 9 at 106 pounds. He's been around for a long time, and he is finally big enough to be 106. They got Jacob Aho, he's number 5 at 120 pounds. Derek Cardinal, he's your defending state champ. He's currently ranked number 1 at 138 pounds. Dan Vanneker, he's number 3 at 145. Wyatt Nelson's number 7 at 182. And Tyler Rawway is number 4 at 195 pounds. And we're going to go on to a team we talked about back in their 2AA days, the Waconia Wildcats. They're currently ranked 7th in the guillotine. They got 7 ranked wrestlers. Lincoln Vick, he's number 5 at 106 pounds. He's another one of these guys. He's kind of finally big enough to be a full-size 106-pounder. Josh Wagner, number 6 at 145 pounds. Gage Mueller, number 4 at 160. Alex Riley, number 6 at 170. Max McAnally, defending state champ at 182 pounds. Bram Fitzsimmons, number 8 at 195. And Sam McAnally, number 5 at 220. Now we're going to talk 5 AAA. Let's go 2 AAA. Let's go to Shakopee. They're currently the favorite in 2 AAA. They're ranked 2nd on the guillotine. They got 5 ranked wrestlers. Blake West, he's number 1 at 113 pounds. Sam Tremel, we've been watching him wrestle for a long time. He's number 9 at 160. Joey Johnson's number 3 at 195. His brother Tommy Johnson, another set of ranked brothers, is number 2 at 220. And Jade Trelstad, he is number 3 at 285. You know, interesting asterisk to this lineup that some people will be interested in. There are no Manvilles in it this year.
That's right. I saw that.
Yep. The Manville family has moved back to, they've moved to Pennsylvania. And so that's going to hurt Shakopee a little bit, losing Carson and Pearson. But they still got a ton of studs and especially a ton of big guys. You know, Johnson brothers and Trelstad.
Right.
3 ranked 3rd, 2nd, and 3rd to close out their lineup. Let's go to 5 AAA.
All right. If you're going to go to 5 AAA, I got a trivia question for you.
Okay.
What's the longest running, and actually I don't even know if this is true. Give me a team from Section 5 who's won it in the last 10 years.
Well, it's hard. It's the sections have changed a little bit over the years, right? But the, let's say they have, because like St. Michael Albertville has, they've won their section, albeit it wasn't always Section 5 AAA.
That's true. That's true.
You know, they've moved around a little bit. They've, yeah, I think maybe it was it Section 6?
Were they 7 at one time?
7,
too?
Yeah, they were 7. I think to the best of my knowledge, they've won their section that they've been in for the last 22 years.
That's awesome.
22 years. Now, that's a great, great trivia question, because this is a section worth watching this year.
Yeah.
Like, Wayzata has got a team that they've been building, and, you know, this is probably going to be their best team, you know, with, they got Cale Swenson, he's a senior, he's going to be leading their squad, you know, and Caden Homey,
he's
right?
He's probably got a brother that's wrestling,
he's,
too.
He's
right?
got a brother, he's got a brother who's ranked at 106 pounds, you know, yeah, Caden Homey, he's a senior, right?
Yep.
They, you got Kyler Wong, you got Derek Cherney, you got Kelvin Longquist, Jed... Oh, Jed's a St. Michael guy here. He's got to be about the same weight as Swenson. But so Wayzata's gonna, I really believe Wayzata's gonna give St. Michael a run for their money this year. Last year in the section finals, I'm told, I haven't verified this myself, but I'm told Wayzata actually won more matches. St. Michael just had won the bonus point battle.
I've seen duels like that before, and it's nuts.
Yeah.
8-6, but with a bunch of pins.
Yep.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that. Will Wayzata be the team to stop the...
Snap the streak?
Yeah. Like, the St. Michael, the last time they didn't make it to state, they were in Double-A.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They got beat by Foley in the section finals, and it was like 23-21.
Sure.
Something like that. It's like...
Back when you were in grade school.
I was a senior in high school, Al.
Right.
So St. Michael is the favorite, though, as of now. But they're ranked, what, like third and fourth, right?
Yeah.
They got 6 ranked wrestlers. Caleb Tennis, he's number 1 at 106 pounds. If he ends up wrestling 106, he will be a huge 106-pounder. Landon Robidoux, he's number 2 at 113. If he ends up wrestling 113, he will be a huge 113-pounder. Parker Jansen is number 3 at 126. Isaiah Milsna is number 7 at 132. Cole Becker is number 2 at 145. And Jed Wester is number 3 at 152. That leaves us with...
We have Section 4 left.
Section 4. The Stillwater Ponies, they're the favorite. They are currently ranked number 1. They've got 7 ranked wrestlers. Dylan Doffenbach, he is ranked number 6 at 106 pounds. Matt Hoag is number 2 at 126. Reed Ballantyne is a 4-time defending state champion. He's number 1 at 132 pounds. Hunter Leiden is number 1 at 160 pounds. He's also defending state champ. Ryder Rogatsky, he is number 1 at 170 pounds. Anthony Tuttle's number 5 at 182 pounds. And Roman Rogatsky is number 1 defending state champ at 195 pounds. They have, again, another set of brothers. They might be the only team in the state that has a set of brothers with a sister in the lineup. Their younger sister, Audrey Rogatsky.
Yeah, is Audrey going to wrestle this year?
She
make the lineup a little bit?
She is going to, yeah, she'll definitely be wrestling. And, you know, she will be
is
in
she
the,
big enough to be 106?
I think she actually has surpassed 106 and might be 113.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what their lineup looks like down low. You know, they got, obviously, Dylan and, you know, they got a couple other tough kids around that weight.
Right.
But, you know, there is a chance Audrey could be in the lineup.
Sure.
And that, you know, that would be...
That'd be pretty cool.
Really cool for her parents. You know, because you get to watch 3 kids compete at one event this
right.
year, you know. The wow factor for this team is they have 4 wrestlers ranked number 1 in the state.
And another ranked 2, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Hoag ranked?
Hoag is ranked 2. Hoag is ranked 2.
You got Ballantyne, 2 Rogatskys, and Leiden.
Yeah.
Right, that's...
Some firepower.
Yeah.
So, which, that kind of, that sums up our ranked teams and wrestlers, or our we shouldn't say our ranked teams, our section favorites as of now.
Sure.
And we talked a little bit about some other teams, but I do think it's worth keeping an eye on that St. Michael Albertville Wayzata.
Yeah.
Showdown.
For sure. Yeah, we'll we'll be doing this again soon, but we'll have to keep an eye on it. There's a few different sections, right, that we've got some races that are going to be tight. You know, speaking of state and sections, as of now, the plan is to have both team and individual section and state tournament. However, there's no time and date determined or listed right now on MSHSL for the state tournament. And I find it interesting that the location does not say location. It says locations, plural. There's been some talk about separating out the state tournaments. So it could be that the locations, plural, mean the team state and the individual state, or it could be that the three state tournaments, the three different classes, are in different places. That's been discussed. So we'll stay on top of that, I guess, and report back as soon as news is out and confirm. But right now, all postseason is tentatively planned, but to be determined for details.
I'm glad that there's a postseason.
Absolutely.
The planning is in the works. I mean, everybody is, right?
Well, you and I follow Jason Bryant pretty closely, and every year he posts about going back home in their state tournament in a small gym, you know, one of their six classes or whatever they have. There's a lot of states that don't have the same kind of look and feel that Minnesota has. And if for some reason this year it doesn't look and feel quite the same, that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. We have to appreciate what an awesome state tournament Minnesota has compared to a lot of states around the country.
Yeah, love it. The state tournament is so much fun. I wish we would have got we never had a follow-up podcast after last year's state tournament, did we?
No, COVID, it's because just hit, got kicked right in the solar plexus, as they used to say on All-Star Wrestling, immediately following the state tournament. Yeah.
I'm going to take a minute here, Al, to thank our sponsors for tonight's show, and then I got one last thing I'd like to touch on, if that's all right with you.
Bring it on.
Actually, you know what? We got to start talking about our sponsors. I've been listening to a couple other podcasts, trying to sharpen my pencil a little bit for us, yes. You know, because we really don't, believe it or not, I have no formal training.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, so, but I noticed they like one of them, and I listened to like 10 minutes of sponsor crap before the podcast even started.
Yeah, you know what? I've listened to those too, and I can understand getting the sponsor info out right away, but a couple of things on that. One is I'd just soon fast forward through an extended sponsor segment. And the other is our sponsors are legit sponsors, right? Like they truly appreciate what we're trying to do. And there's not just some sort of financial gain for them, right, in this. So I think they're pretty flexible for the most part.
They are, right? They are, which is nice.
That said, we maybe could mix them in throughout. And we do occasionally. You know, we've got segments that are sponsored by folks here and there.
Yeah, like we actually have a long-term contract with Jason Elsmore Plumbing out of Rochester. He has dibs on all our women's wrestling stuff, yep. Which we really appreciate. And he is one of tonight's sponsors. Elsmore Plumbing, you know, give them a shout for all your plumbing needs in or around the Rochester area. He's a wrestling dad and a wrestling, you know, wrestling coach and
wrestling junkie.
So feel free to give him a shout for all your plumbing needs. Our next sponsor is one of our OG sponsors, Ashcon Mavari, State Farm Insurance. I've been saying it for years. Give this guy a call and ask him for the wrestling discount.
Absolutely.
You know, if he tells you there's no such thing, you call him back.
That's right.
Keep bugging him. Get a quote from this guy. He's a huge fan of the sport and a huge fan of the show. And Ashcon Mavari at State Farm Insurance. Thank you, sir. And then last but not least for tonight's show is Todd Hansen. We Sell, You Save, Minnesota Realty. Another great sponsor we've had for a long time now. And we appreciate the help. So if you're looking to relocate, like so many people in the wrestling world are, give this guy a call.
You know, last year we had a little bit of a segment Todd sponsored about relocations heading into the season.
Yeah.
And this year we kind of, that just didn't come to be for a number of reasons. But maybe he can sponsor a segment in one of our next couple of episodes as we talk about kids who have possibly changed teams or whatnot? Because I'm sure it will happen.
Yeah. Yep,
at least a little bit.
There's always a couple of them out there, right? A couple surprises right. You hear some rumors and whatnot, going.
But yeah, so Todd, you can look to update your sponsorship sometime in the next month or so, and we'll have another segment for you.
We might even be back next week.
You never know.
You know what? We should. We should get together and talk some individual stuff next week.
Sure.
All right. The last thing I wanted to touch on for our listeners, when we were sitting in Studio 2 before we got started, Al and his lovely wife Jen Venz were sitting in here, and I asked them what weekend NCAAs were this year.
Yeah, so that one gets a little dicey.
You've got a son who's a senior at the University of Nebraska.
Yeah.
And a son who is a senior at Farmington High School. The NCAAs will be taking place, and probably the individual section tournament, right?
I'm not so sure. It's either the section tournament or state tournament.
I think it's sections. I think.
Yeah, like the 20th of March.
Yeah.
Is that what we talked about?
20th is NCAA's, 18th, 19th, and 20th in St. Louis.
20th is NCAA down in St. Louis, yeah. And yeah, we announced that state would complete by the 27th. So that would be individual section weekend.
Looks like you guys got some decisions to make.
We just got some miles to put on the vehicles.
Well, yeah, that's easy, right? You can go down.
I'm telling you right now, Josh, I'm hoping if I find out from, if Buffalo shares Farmington wrestles in Buffalo on Thursday, and I hope to leave work early and make it up there in time to be one of the few fans in attendance, and then Friday to go to Iowa City and watch the Huskers take on the Iowa Hawkeyes and be back for a Saturday morning event in Eden Prairie.
It's a pretty awesome weekend.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's... Wrestling season is here, man.
I've checked Google Maps. There's enough time to get between those places.
Perfect.
NCAAs and sections could be a little closer timeline, but we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. I love problems like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I got for you, Al.
That's all I got, too. Welcome back to Wrestling Minnesota. Here we go.
Here we go.
Well, another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing. Al and Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth. Podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling. Al and Josh Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I'm in Studio 2. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.